fighting for America.
Some of the things we're doing without Congress are making a difference, but we could do so much more if Congress would just come on and help out a little bit.
There are 321 House passed bills that are sitting in the United States Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
What I've tried to employ the female members of my family is that let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions.
Fighting for you.
Kevin Miller's my name. Making it happen's my game. I got a cobra-like thrust, and I will kill if I must.
Where did I hear that before?
I know. You made that phrase famous.
Boise's Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning.
Hey, diddle, diddle, right up the middle.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, K. Miller with you. Don't forget your chance to join a lot of people that have won tickets to Big and Rich. Now we have a pair to give away this hour. Our friend Nate in Caldwell, he won last hour. Chris from Boise won in the 6 o'clock hour. Of course, this is a pair of tickets to the Big and Rich show, and that will be September 5th, Friday. And when you hear a Big and Rich song, could be Coming to Your City, could be Save a Horse, could be the 8th of November, could be Big Time, could be blah, blah, blah. Be caller 10 at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. The summertime is a time where a lot of us get away, but the need to help others is always there, always relevant. Here in the Treasure Valley, with us now to discuss the needs of folks here and elsewhere is Anthony Hopp, joining us from Samaritan Ministries. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Good to be with you.
Great to have you with us here at 580KIDO. So we're talking about Samaritan Ministries. What types of work do they do here in the Treasure Valley and throughout the country?
Sure. Well, simply put, we are coordinating a process where a large group of Christians, about 37,000 households, share one another's medical bills directly, person to person, without using any insurance.
How popular is that today?
Well, it's growing in its popularity. We actually started about 20 years ago and have been going pretty steadily. And right now, as I mentioned, about 37,000 households, which translates to about 120,000 individuals. And initially, it was sort of a hard concept for people to wrap their minds around because it's a whole different animal than insurance and a different paradigm, a different way of thinking. But over time, I think as people have become more accustomed to the idea and have heard about it, people have seen it as certainly a viable alternative to insurance.
Well, let me hit you with this. SamaritanMinistries.org. We'll start with just some statements on your website. You can trust God with your health care, too. A biblical non-insurance approach to health care needs. Health care for people of faith. Sick of insurance, come join us. Let's start with that statement.
Well, it's no secret that we're in a chaotic time, and health care is a mess and has been for quite some time. And typically, when somebody calls our office, it starts with the money. People are just priced out. They have an exorbitant premium, or they have a policy where they have a $2,500 or $5,000 deductible, and that can put them at significant risk. But it's usually just sick of a high insurance premium. Increasingly, added to that mix are people realizing that their healthcare dollars are supporting things they don't agree with. So we're seeing more philosophical and principial concerns in addition to the economics. But usually for a new Samaritan member, the economics are at the heart of why they were even looking in the first place.
Well, let's talk about the challenge of affordable health care these days. What are your people telling you?
Well, we're saying that there are other ways. First of all, you know, that statement you read earlier about you can trust God with your health care. Samaritan isn't meant to be a panacea or a silver bullet approach for all things health care. This is just simply one way we believe God uses, specifically his kids taking care of each other in a practical way. And we're able to do that at an affordable amount because there's not a lot of overhead and bureaucracy. We're a not-for-profit ministry, and our heart is truly to see as many needs shared as possible and to coordinate the folks doing that. And so that's why it can be done affordably. Also, theoretically, this group of people who are committed to this concept are going to be healthier by and large and not have have healthcare claims like the rest of the world might.
Anthony Hopp joining us here at 580KIDO, Samaritan Ministries, where we're talking about an alternative to Obamacare. A lot of skeptics may say, well, all you're doing is praying.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing we do. However, the finances are there, and historically the evidence is pretty solid. You know, we share needs that go up to, well, we've seen needs over the $1 million mark. And so this isn't just a prayer chain or a haphazard, we're going to pass the hat and see how many people share in your need. This is a specifically coordinated process where if a Samaritan member has a need of $100,000, we coordinate or allocate enough Samaritan members to send their monthly share directly to the member with the need in order to meet the need. And then there's a whole accountability process to make sure that people are sending their share. So while prayer is certainly at the center of what we're doing, we're trying to make sure the entire medical need is ministered to. No one would be doing this or paying a monthly share unless the finances were in place too.
Now, if you go to a place like St. Luke's or St. Al's or Billy's Hospital, how does it work specifically?
Well, no matter where you're at, you know, we of course, Samaritan is located in Illinois, but we have members in all 50 states and missionaries in several countries as well. And Samaritan members are self-pay patients. So when you walk into a provider, you let them know that you'll be paying in cash and that you, the patient, should be billed directly. And our members have an identification card that explains this, that the card explicitly says that Samaritan Ministries is not insurance, but that I'm part of this organization that's going to share in my need. And really, the name of the game, Kevin, would be communicating with the provider to say, we're in this network of people who share medical needs. They've been doing this for 20 years now. Here's the timeline for getting your money, which, by the way, is 30 to 60 days from the time we receive bills in at Samaritan Ministries until the need is shared. But one of the unique features of this model is that the patient or the Samaritan Ministries member is engaged. And we think this is a good thing, actually. Part of the reason we're in this mess is there's such disengagement. If I walk into a provider, slap down my insurance card, and that's it, I really haven't been involved. I don't see what anything costs. I'm not dealing with it. All of a sudden, the responsibility of my medical need is off to somebody else. So the process is a little bit different than what somebody would be used to with insurance, but we think that's a good thing.
So if I get this straight, Anthony, here at 580KIDO, I pay out of my own pocket initially, then what's the benefit?
Well, if it is a smaller medical need, let's say it's $1,000 and you have that amount ready to go, you can certainly pay the provider at that point and then still submit your bills to Samaritan and get reimbursed, for lack of a better term. But if you have a $50,000 need, most people don't have that kind of cash laying around, so that's when you make arrangements and communicate with the provider and let them know the 30 to 60-day time frame of getting paid. Most providers over the 20 years have been extremely gracious and flexible in working with members. Insurance companies can take sometimes several months to pay on a claim. There's a wide variance from insurance company to insurance company. Some insurance companies are quick and some aren't. But the 30 to 60-day turnaround time that we have at Samaritan has been sufficient. The worst-case scenario, if you have that $50,000 need and the provider is insistent that you give some kind of activity on that account, you can give them $100 or $200 a month until your need has been shared.
And they'll accept that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been. In fact, we see as we build more and more relationships with providers, or I should say our members do, because our members are the ones who actually deal with the providers, they're happy to see them because they know they're going to get their money. They know that it's done in a timely way. And maybe most importantly, they don't have to deal with all of the costs associated with managed care. They don't have to. We see more and more cash-only clinics springing up and providers incentivizing cash pay because now they don't have to monkey around with all of the paperwork that's entailed with insurance.
Anthony Hopp with us, Samaritan Ministries. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. SamaritanMinistries.org as we try and find solutions to the healthcare issues. Anthony, how do you deal with the big fear that people have that if they don't sell their souls out to the exchange or to one of these godless globalist healthcare HMOs that could give a rip about you, that they're going to be stricken with illness or in a horrible accident and be unable to get medical attention. That's a huge fear that we all have.
Well, yeah, certainly we do. And I think everybody's kind of watching to see what's going to happen. And in terms of providers, you know, we've seen a little bit confusion with as the Affordable Care Act has been implemented, of them providers wondering, well, can we still accept cash? And of course you can. I think that it's becoming increasingly complicated, but in terms of people's ultimate fear, I think at the heart of it is, okay, we have our family has a medical need, and it's twofold. One, are we going to be able to get care? And two, are we going to be able to afford it? The first question, yes, I think as long as the dollar is supposedly worth something, there will always be providers who are willing to take your money, who are willing to be paid cash. And as I've mentioned, through our local area in Illinois and throughout the country, we get more and more reports of providers breathing a sigh of relief that they can actually take cash and get paid in a timely way. And secondly, as far as will I have the money to pay for this, yeah, that certainly is an element of faith, because we're accustomed to, well, I've got insurance, and so it's quote, guaranteed. And unfortunately, we hear a lot of stories, and this isn't to indict insurance companies across the board. It's just to say that I think we have an unrealistic expectation that if I have insurance in place, it's foolproof, and I'm always going to get, I mean, we just hear the stories of there was a loophole, or there was a lapse in coverage, or there was this fine print that you didn't read. And so I think that it's not as a ironclad solution as people have thought. And so this idea of trusting other people for your medical needs is not a flawless approach. But given if I can trust a world system, or I can trust the body of Christ, that's kind of where we're coming down. And I know that's pretty divisive and polarizing, but we're just saying here is one way that has been shown to be effective in seeing people's needs met, that I can trust other people and ultimately trust God to provide that. The reality is that, I mean, the track record and specific numbers, you know, every single need that we have shared since 1994, to our knowledge, has been shared.
Let's go to the phones, and we go to Liberal Steve at 580KIDO. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was thinking that there's been quite a few Christian, and some insurances even label themselves as a Christian insurance other than your system. And I think your system is great. I want to tell you that right up front. I think it's great. But like Knights of Columbus, through the Catholic Church system, and some of the others through Protestant and Lutheran that actually own insurance companies, is it kind of the same? And question number two, can you carry your insurance plus another insurance? And I'll hang up.
Sure. Second question, yes, you can certainly have insurance in place and use it in tandem with Samaritan. We would be more as a supplemental. And keep in mind, we don't consider ourselves insurance in any way for various reasons. But yes, you could have something, whether it's employer-provided or you're self-insured, and use Samaritan as a supplement. The first question, no, there really isn't any kind of similarity with Knights of Columbus or any kind of insurance in the background. You know, we are not receiving the monies. I don't know if you followed here, but the monies do not come to Samaritan. We simply coordinate each Samaritan member sending their monthly share to another member. The monies come here the first 3 months, but from the month four on, Samaritan members send their shares directly to another family. That's such a novel concept. Even amongst healthcare sharing ministries, we're the only one out of the healthcare sharing ministries that actually have members writing a physical check and sending it to another family, where the money is never clearing Samaritan's office. So a whole different model altogether.
Anthony, please stand by, because we do want to talk more about an alternative to Obamacare and to the healthcare as well. More with Anthony Hopp coming up next. If you have a question about the health insurance, Samaritan Ministries, and possibly this might be an avenue for you, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Don't forget as well, we're giving away tickets to see Big and Rich September 5th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater. When you hear a Big and Rich song, be caller 10 at 580-5436. 5436. Time for traffic. It is 8.
The DMB Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Man on the TV's gone insane, everybody's just laughing. People cross the world holding on, the earth caved in, the ocean came down crashing. My neighbor lost his house, 'cause he can't find a job. Don't you dare pledge allegiance, don't you dare speak of God.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you back to the Samaritan Ministries. By the way, if you're looking for an alternative to Obamacare, health care, health exchange, Anthony Hopp is with us to discuss. We go to Pat from Middleton. He wanted to ask about income tax consequences or benefits of the Samaritan Ministries.
Yes. Okay, do we have a question, or just in general, how does that
ask him about impact? Yes, ask him about income tax consequences or benefits.
Okay, I got you. Well, there, as far as a tax benefit, our understanding is that it's not a deductible expense. The IRS has been really not clear on how healthcare sharing entities should be treated, and so we default to saying check with your tax professional as far as if this is deductible or not. Now, it's not charitable giving because you're receiving in return the opportunity to have your own needs shared. As far as deducting it as an expense if you're, say, self-employed, we know members who go on both sides, some who are comfortable with it and some aren't. Our advice would be it's probably not, just to play it safe. If you live in the state of Missouri, on your state tax, you can actually claim it as a deductible expense. It's the only one of the 50 states that has that as a state law. In regards to the other way, if you're receiving a pile of money for a medical need, what are the ramifications of that? And thankfully, the answer is none, because it's a gift, and the gift law states that a single gift has to be in excess of $14,000 in order to be taxed. And even though you could have a medical need that far exceeds $14,000, all of the individual gifts that you receive from other members are under $14,000, therefore it's not taxable.
Right. Again, he just wanted to make sure those direct payments wouldn't be treated as income to be taxed.
Right, and it's not income. It's definitely a gift. It's a gift coming from other people, no different than your car breaks down and your neighbor gives you $50 to help you get it fixed.
Do you get a tax deduction for your gifts?
No, not you don't get a tax deduction for your gift because it's technically not charitable giving. You are receiving something in return, and specifically it's just the opportunity that if you have a medical need yourself, you're going to receive benefit, so it's not charitable giving.
Anthony, do you think more and more people that get fed up with what's going on with things that interfere with their faith, that they will look to programs such as your own?
I definitely think so. I think with the Hobby Lobby case and just as people become more aware how monies are being stewarded, it's becoming more of a frontline issue that people are realizing, well, my healthcare dollars are going toward things that I don't agree with, and I've got a problem with that. And so because of options like healthcare sharing, it gives an alternative to do something different and have the peace of mind that your money is going toward, not only it's not going toward something objectionable, but you know exactly how it's being used. When I send my monthly share out, I'm helping a brother or sister directly. And I think there's a lot of benefit to just the assurance of knowing that my money's going somewhere good, and it's being put to good use, and it's not being wasted.
Anthony, let's see. We have a question here for you. Let's go to Keith in Meridian for Anthony Hopp at 580KIDO.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Had a question regarding the $14,000 gift. As I have read the IRS laws regarding that, it is $14,000 max to an individual, but not from many individuals. In other words, three people couldn't independently give one person $14,000 each. Otherwise, it's looked on as income at that point and taxable. Specifically, employers also cannot give out that money to like a their person that they're employed, and then to four or five of their house members. So that way, that would be a way of them getting the income. So, what my question to you is then, where do you understand that it's a $14,000 per giving person versus $14,000 per the recipient?
Sure, good question. And I wish I was more conversant in the legal aspect of this. Our attorneys have obviously gone over this with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that everything is understood correctly. And in 20 years, we've not had a single issue because one of our core principles is to be extremely transparent in our dealings and to be careful and to be cautious, just because we know that it's in some ways hostile toward not only because of the biblical principles, but because this is so unconventional and out of the box, we're under a magnifying glass, and so we've been careful to make sure everything's right. So I guess I would challenge that notion. I wouldn't be able to speak intelligently as to why, other than our attorneys have looked into this. It might have something to do, you mentioned members of the same household, and I wonder if that's the distinction, because I've heard that too. If somebody just gives all the different family members $14,000 in order to circumvent the tax, that obviously is a whole different issue than strangers and unrelated people pitching in to help with something.
Yeah.
All right, Keith, thank you for the call. Anthony, if people want more information, what can they do?
Go to SamaritanMinistries.org. They can download an information packet. They can also give our office a call and get any questions answered.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, there we have it. Some real-life solutions. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Have you heard about John Wayne toilet paper?
No.
It's rough and it's tough and it don't take sh** off of no one.
Yes.
Must hear radio every morning.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Thank God it's
And again, welcome to America while it lasts. How you doing? We go to some emails here. Cindy, about the border. Kevin Miller, if the Republicans don't insist the borders are closed and secured, we will be invaded soon. I know that's what Obama wants. And then he, parentheses Islam, can take over. Well, Cindy.
Stop just hating all the time. Come on. Let's get some work done together.
There should not be any money given to him whatsoever. When he signs an executive order, jump the lawsuit on him, stopping it. We the people have the right to make it a stand, and it's time that we do. This may sound like I'm a radical, but I'm not. I'm an American and very true to my country. I don't know what people expected when they voted. They let a Muslim run our country, then voted for him again. There, I got it off my chest. Thank you for all I do. I listen to your listen every day and appreciate you and your staff. That is Cindy. Well, thank you, Cindy.
Stop just hating all the time. Come on. Let's get some work done together.
The president wants to get some work done, and certainly working on the border. And if we hear from you at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that's great. On the other hand, we've got another issue going on here, and it's the invasion of America and what can be done about it. Let's hear from our great friend Patrick Joseph Buchanan, last night on the Hannity Show.
Political call by the president, very serious crisis for the country. He can probably do this and get away with it. 5 million to 8 million folks, they give them work permits, permission to stay, de facto amnesty to get in the country. What does it do for Barack Obama? It energizes the Hispanic base and the La Raza militants. It changes the subject in the elections of 2014 from foreign policy failures and domestic policy failures to the issue which a lot of Republicans will immediately raise. Let's impeach the guy for doing this. That will split the Republican Party. Sean, and then the Chamber of Commerce and some of these moderate Republicans will be delighted the issue is behind them.
Yeah, they want
so
cheap
I
labor.
Think some, yeah, I think, well, sure, and I think something like this is coming. I don't know whether Barack Obama would do it before the election or after the election, but I think he's exactly the guy to do it because he wants to transform America. And how better to transform America than basically to put 8 million people here illegally on a path to citizenship when 80-90% of them tend to vote Democratic?
Last question. I thought that America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. The president, whitehouse.gov, there was a statement that said the president put out that Muslim Americans, he thanked them for their contributions to building the very fabric of our nation.
Look,
is that true?
There's no doubt. Look, there are brave, honorable, good Muslims in this country.
Did they
who
build
have come
the fabric
illegally.
Of America, or was it
but
the Judeo-Christian ethic?
Look, my goodness, 99% of the folks in the United States at the time the Constitution was signed were Protestant Christians, 1% Catholics, 0.1% Jewish. Look, this was a Christian country when it was founded. It was a non-religious state, but it was a predominantly Christian country, and it's ceasing to be so. And I don't think that's a good thing for America or the world.
There you have it from the Hannity Show at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller with you here. Back to some emails. We go to the Boise rabble-rouser. Perhaps the scourge of all conservatives and Republicans now, since Dan Popke has joined Congressman Labrador's staff. Yes, Millie, in an election year, the August break is the most important month of the year for the Millionaires Club, known as the United States Congress. Why is that, Rouser? It gives the members more free time than usual to raise the big bucks necessary to win their re-election. Yes, they will be pandering to the wealthy donors or influence buyers in the industrial military corporate complex. It's the billionaires donating to the millionaires, while the interest of the folks on Main Street and on the nation's ranches and farms are pushed to the back of the line, so far back. The members of Congress, while honorable, are functionally corrupt and dysfunctional. Rousing. Ouch. There we have it from the Boise rabble-rouser. Now, in the interest of equal time here at 580KIDO, we have Representative John Lewis, who's mad.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank my good friend, the gentlewoman from New York, for yielding.
You're welcome.
Mr. Speaker, this resolution is a waste of time and money. We are sent to Congress to make progress on behalf of the people of this nation, yet House Republicans spend all of their time and energy fighting this president. Why? Republicans need to jump off the bandwagon of political attacks and come together to jumpstart the economy. While Americans were unemployed, they did nothing to put them back to work. When people were losing their homes, they did little to protect them from foreclosure. While hunger and poverty are on the rise in this country, they have hardly mentioned.
Exactly. They've hardly mentioned it. There we have it. Just when he was getting fired up. You know, it's funny when people blame Congress. I don't know if I blame Congress. I do think we're on to something here. And the whole idea of this August recess, it's great for the politicians to get a month off. And some of them, to Mike Tracy's credit, who, you know, phoned in and emails in and participates, and we appreciate that. Some of them work very hard. Some of them take about a month off. Which person represents you? And do we really need an August recess? Do we really need it? Do you get an August recess? Oh, Kevin, there you go, hating again. Not really. What's that, hating again? Oh, well.
Stop just hating all the time. Come on. Let's get some work done
today. Let's get some work done, everybody. Anyway, think about that. You talk about a great gig, being a member of Congress, really. You have a staff, you have this, you have great benefits. Now you tell me at 580-5436, when Hamilton, Jefferson, Jay, Madison, Franklin, put this whole thing together, honoring the creator, self-rule, did we really think that the political class would be above us? Is that what our system was designed to become? Of course not. But I think of you. I think of you. And I'll tell you, if you're in your car, if you're working outside, if you're just thankful to have a job or working two or three jobs, you're my hero. If you work for a charitable group, a nonprofit, a first responder, take care of your kids, other people's kids, or just look out for your neighborhood or your fellow person, you're my hero. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had an August recess? Maybe that's what we should do next year, God willing, if we're here, is actually come up with an August recess for you instead of Congress. Paul in Napa at 580 KIDO with Kay Milley. Hello, Paul.
Morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, one thing that would change the way things work in Congress. Term limit. You go there one time for 6-8 years, whatever we determine as voters, and you do your work, and then you come back and have to deal with it in the wherever you live. One time. They don't have to worry about getting reelected. There's none of this reelection concern. You don't have people there for 50 years. Term limits would solve a lot of the issues that are going on right now.
Let me hit you with something real quick, because I agree with you, but the critics of term limits, Paul, will say, well, then you're going to have the advisors having too much power, because you're going to have people that aren't familiar with the process, as if any of those people read the bills anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking just the other day about, you know, Nancy Pelosi, and you got to read it before you got to sign it before you see what's in it. How many of our Congress people are actually writing the bills?
Or reading them, yes.
Yeah. I mean, how many of them actually are involved in writing the bills? Truly. Anyway.
Hey, wouldn't that be a great gig to have?
Sure.
You don't do anything, and then you pontificate, and then you go home for a month.
Yeah, and pontificate some more in your district.
Well,
have a great day, Kevin.
Thank you, Paul. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's get you to traffic.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
856, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. One person who is doing a great job in Congress, our friend Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, who has been at the forefront of the immigration issue. And we'll hear more from Senator Sessions either coming up tomorrow with the All-Star panel or Monday, possibly both. Let me get something off my chest here, though. One thing that I think that we could do to help stem the tide of the illegals coming in here. Look, people say, well, Kevin, you can't be, a non-humanitarian? My wife and I get into this all the time. She has such a big heart. She says, what, you're against those children? Tea Party Bob and I get into it because he wants to take care of them medically, then ship them off. Now, folks, we really can't afford it. And do we start taking care of other people's kids, other countries' kids, at the expense of our own? Could we go to every inner city in America and look at kids that have the same challenges, the same perhaps diseases that these kids who have allegedly fled because of political ramifications have? And who's going to pay for it? Look, we have more people on unemployment and disability than we have working. The dependent class is taking over. Mitt Romney was right. It's not going to go from 41%. It's going to go to 51%, then 60%. And you think taxes are bad now. I mean, when you make the fiscal argument, and regardless whether it's the guest worker program, which is just a genuflection to the big business Chamber of Commerce because they don't want to employ Americans, or to the challenged low-wage sector. Why would we want to employ other people when we can't even employ our own, and we need to employ our own? Now, people are buying things. I'm scared to buy things. I need to, you know, I'm living within my means, but I need to cut that in half and save, save, save. We never, let me repeat this, we never want to go through what we did the past few years, do we? And if you're still struggling, you're in my prayers. We need to look out for one another, and that's what we try and do here each and every day. That's why we'll talk to you tomorrow from 5 to 8. Let's get you to traffic now. 8:59, K. Milley in the morning, 580 KIDO, Glenn, Dave, Sean, Brian, Alex, Clive, George. If you know who I'm talking about, appreciate you being here. Good day, God bless, and for you working outside, thanks for making it happen for us, brothers and sisters. Stay cool, though, and keep the faith.